Hey everyone, welcome back. You are listening to 한국어 천재 on TBS EFM 101.3 in Seoul and the surrounding area. You're hanging out with me, Kayla, and I'm not alone. I am here with Chef Matthew. Hello.
What up, girl?
How you doing?
Doing good.
I am staring at you looking so fabulous here in your Minnesota ensemble. I am so homesick looking at you right now. Oh my gosh, you are just looking the stereotypical Minnesotan.
This is the uniform for this time of year, right? Like when things start to get brisk, but they're warm in parts of the day. You got to do the layers. At one point, I've worn like every single possible configuration of these layers all day long because it gets hot and it gets cold. It gets hot, it gets cold. But you know what? I'm going to take the good with the bad just because this is one of my favorite seasons of the year.
I feel like I want to like ask you to go make me a fish fry and go put up a deer stand and then like cook a casserole all at once. This is so utterly home to me. Oh gosh, I'm just loving it, you guys. This is the colors of fall. I'm feeling it. I am here for it. And of course, I show up in my usual black. Right. It wouldn't be 한국어 천재 if Kayla wasn't wearing her typical black.
You're at home right now. You're not wearing what's unofficially the national colors of Minnesota, right? Red flannel.
Right? Red flannel. I swear. You're not Minnesotan or Wisconsin if you do not have a family picture in flannel. That is a fact right here. But we're not here to talk about Minnesotan or Wisconsin facts, unfortunately, here. I do, however, want to remind everyone about what we covered last week because since we're coming up on the holiday season, I feel like you all need to prep your kitchens for the cook-in that is to happen, even though the Korean holiday season just passed with Chuseok. Chuseok is over, but for those of my American friends, you are probably prepping right now. And so if you are at all living in Korea, you might be needing some supplies, and we happened to cover a few things last week.
That's right. Supplies specifically in the form of kitchen appliances.
That's right.
And the Korean word for that is 주방 가전 제품.
That's right. And that literally was just like kitchen home appliances or
electronic
supplies.
Yeah, yeah, home appliances. Yeah. Right. Or like if you want to shorten it, then just like 주방 가전. So that's just like, you know, like the appliances, kitchen appliances.
And easy
so
peasy.
We cover things like oven, which is oven.
Difficult. Can't keep up with that. Mm-hmm. You lost me already.
And then we have like other things too that are very, very Korean, like the portable grills and burners that you use to eat at the table because we love to eat at the table. Mm-hmm. So an electric grill is a 전기 그릴, electric grill. And then those portable burners is a 가스렌지, which incidentally is also the same word that you'd use for the gas stove, gas range that you have like in your main kitchen as well.
That's right. And I remember another thing that we would be easy to mix up to as well was the fact that in America, we often would call things like blenders. Mm-hmm. We call it a blender. But in Korea, if you're specifically looking for that, you would either call it a 핸드 믹서 or a stick
mixer. A stick mixer.
Yeah, right. So if you're specifically looking for that, make sure you specifically say mixogi. We do not say blender. You have to say mixogi here because if you're looking for an actual stand mixer, like the kind we make batter, you would have to add panjuk in front of that.
So that's a panjukki. So like literally a dough machine.
Yeah, there you go. So it could be a little kind of confusing for those things there. So just make sure you keep those in mind if you're specifically looking for those types of products. We had all sorts of ones, so if you want to go check that out, make sure you listen to last week's. We covered all sorts of things there that can help you with your home appliances from start to finish.
And also maybe a little bit early Christmas shopping just in case if anyone in your life likes to cook.
Excellent idea. I know you... What was the one you wanted for Christmas? There was one in particular that was like a trash-related, decompostable trash, get rid of your nasty foods... it was the thing where you put it in there and it like packs it down into this non-smelling thing.
Yes, it's a 음식물 쓰레기 분쇄기.
That's what it was. And you said this thing was life-changing for those who bought it.
Life-changing. And that's the thing, right? So here in Korea, as a review, we have to basically throw away all of our trash separated. Mm. So like all of our recycling gets separated, all of what we call our regular trash, so basically non-recyclables gets separated, and all of our food food trash gets separated. Mm. And yes, it's not the hardest thing in the world, but just day in and day out, just taking the smelly food trash in and out just gets old. It's a machine that you basically, you put it in there, and it, after some time, and it applies some heat, and it sucks out all the moisture, you basically have this kind of odorless, just kind of compost powder. And you can throw it in your garden. I mean, it's like, it's basically, it's taking this natural function that would take like bacteria and worms, like ages to do, and it does it for you within half an hour with like a happy little song for you at the end.
It's also known as magic. Yes. I love it. Well, today, I feel like, you know, in the spirit of the season, it feels like a good time to talk about, well, it feels like it's passing us by fall here.
Yeah.
Before it goes, I feel like it would be good to share with everyone all the wonderful things that you could kind of enjoy here before we switch over into the winter months.
Right, those beautiful seasonal ingredients. Yeah. And because it's not just the weather that makes fall my favorite, mm. it's the food as well.
Oh, yeah, there are so many here in Korea. I have a couple favorites personally as well. But like, if you are looking for a specific one, how might you find it?
Well, so I think the easiest way, and this is something that I do from time to time as well, because I'll forget like what's in season or when a particular food is in season.
Yeah.
So if you search online and like any kind of search engine and just do like 월, so like, yeah. you know, 1월, it would be January, 2월 would be February, so the month, and 제철 음식.
Yeah.
So 제철 means like of the season.
Yeah.
And 음식 being food.
Yeah.
And you'll just find there are scores of guides that will just basically tell you what's in season when.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just check your 몇 월 and then 제철 음식 and you'll find whatever you need coming up there. Otherwise, do what I do. Every cafe that you walk by, figure out what they're constantly advertising. Mm. It's in season. That's
no,
what I
that's
do.
Absolutely a good way to do it. Just because, you know what? Not only are things in season more delicious, on a practical note, they're cheaper just because they're in abundance right now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a ton of them and they need to sell.
Mm-hmm. So you'll see cafes just advertising them up and down.
Yep.
It'll be on every menu. They'll have them all over the place. And I'll be like, oh, okay, it's strawberry season.
Right.
Or, oh, okay, it's watermelon season. Cool, good to know.
Sure. And then there sometimes you can just use your gut. There are just certain things that feel like fall.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you would think a roasted chestnut brings like memories of summer.
Very true.
They may be where you live, but in general, when you're talking about the mythos of that individual food, just go with like what it feels like.
That's true. Mm. So for you, where would you kick it off for Korean autumn? What would you say is a staple of this?
I think what makes people most excited are the return of oysters.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love oysters. I know I talk about my love of hot dog. I know I love hot dog, you guys. But oyster, especially the jeon. When you get the gulchon, oh my, it is so good. I look forward to this all the time.
Are you more of a raw oyster person or cooked oyster person?
Raw, raw, all day, every day, raw.
I'm one of the weird ones. I think I'm a cooked oyster person. I love raw oysters as well, but I think it's one of those things. I spent so much of my childhood avoiding cooked oysters because I just couldn't do it back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm making up for lost time. I think that's why I always tend to gravitate more towards cooked oysters nowadays.
I mean,
especially fried oysters.
I will eat oysters in any form. Mm-hmm. You could serve it to me on an ice cream sundae, and
sure,
I will probably eat it. I love oysters in every form, but when you serve me raw oysters, I will sit there with a spoon and just slurp that up until the cows come home. I
sure,
am so
sure.
happy.
And the Korean word for oyster is?
Oh, that one would be kwur. I love kwur.
Right.
It is so good. And I think my favorite memory is going down to Yeosu, and I had just the biggest plate. I had finished the filming, and the 감독님 had decided to treat us, and he was like, what do you want? And I as a joke, I was like, I want some kwur.
Right.
And he was just like, okay. And I was like, wait, what?
Nah.
And he was just like, yeah, okay. And I was like, really? And he got me a mountain, and I thought it was to share.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, that's yours.
Yeah.
And I was like, and here we go.
And that's the best part about autumn, right? It's just because they are just in such abundance that you can kind of dispel any notions of oysters being a fancy pants food, because they're quite affordable here in Korea.
Very!
Yeah, they're not for the rich and famous. They are for everybody. You know, and so it's because it's the R months of the year that they say that you eat oysters, right? So, you know, basically May, June, July, August. Mm. Those months do not contain the letter R in them. Mm-hmm. But September to March do contain the, letter R. Most people think it's because, oh, it's summertime, so that must mean the oysters go bad. No, you can technically eat a summer oyster. It will not kill you. But they'll be tiny, and they won't really taste like much because that's their spawning season.
Mm, okay.
And so that's when they're kind of at their most, like, kind of flabbiest. They've kind of lost all their life. And then in September rolls around, then all of a sudden they are ready to go.
It's like, you know, they were the couch potato moment, and then suddenly they decided to kind of get in shape and have their New Year's resolution. And they're like, we're going to pump up and work out. And then they got
and
all
then like,
fit.
Oh, no, wait, what's this? You're going to eat me?
And then now they're like, no, regret. So, yes, my love of Clue is amazing. But then there's another one that I feel gets left by the side a lot in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so delicious.
That is true, actually. Americans don't tend to eat a lot of this, mm-hmm. which are Hongap.
Mm-hmm. Hongap.
Hongap.
Hongap. Yeah, here. Mm-hmm. So there's two H sounds here. Hongap. And that would be mussels. Mussels. Now, in Wisconsin, we have a lot of mussels here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the gun show here. Yeah, not these.
It's these. It's these.
Yeah.
Would this be the sign for mussels?
Yeah, is this?
No, this is. That's the sign for mussels, right?
That would probably be the best. Mm-hmm. The mussels here, I do eat a lot of mussel bakes back home, but I haven't seen them as popularized as I do see them here in Korea.
Because they're, so affordable. They are dirt cheap. I mean, like when they start to come in season, pound for pound, they might be the cheapest protein you can get out there.
Yeah.
And so as a result, anytime there's a seafood, anything, we throw it in there. If there's like a haemrejjim, like, you know, basically a big pot of steamed seafood, it'll be half mussels.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have hongap tang, which is its own kind of hongap soup.
Yeah.
You'll have hongap pap, which is when you basically cook mussels directly into the rice, which is also delicious.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting so hungry right now. Mm-hmm. Now, this next one here, not going to lie, not my favorite, but I will mention it nonetheless. What is this next one?
So the next one is mackerel, otherwise known as 고등어.
Yeah, 고등어. I could do without it, but to each their own.
It takes a little while to get there. I think that in particular, Americans don't grow up eating a lot of these kind of bony, oily fish.
Mm-hmm.
It is an acquired taste, but Europeans flip out over them because just like Koreans, they kind of grow up eating this style of fish.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to note that in Korea, we have two different styles of mackerel. We have 고등어 and we have 삼치.
Mm.
They're both oftentimes translated as mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes you'll see 삼치 translated as Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
If you are kind of introducing yourself into the worlds of these types of fishes, 삼치, it does tend to be a little bit more mild and a little bit kind of along the lines of like cod and those other firm white fish. 고등어, however, is the much more kind of strongly scented, potent, very bony, oilier fish.
Yeah, that is the oil that gets me. But I might surprise you with this next one. I thoroughly enjoy 청어.
Really? Now, that is surprising because that, I feel, is oilier
than 고등어.
Than 고등어. And bonier
and
as well.
I know. I am an enigma wrapped, you know, in a mystery. I am very bizarre. 청어 is herring. And I grew up eating herring.
Right.
Thanks to my grandparents. We grew up eating pickled herring my whole life. And so I have a weird love and fondness for it. And so when I came to Korea, I don't find it pickled here as much. Mm-hmm. I have eaten it in many other forms, but I have not had the mayonnaised version of it here yet.
You know, it's funny though. It's one of those things. It's what you grow up with, right?
Yeah.
It's like, take Europeans and peanut butter. A lot of Europeans, they look at peanuts and it's like, that's not fit for human consumption.
Yeah.
That's something you feed to an animal. It's like, peanut butter, what is this? This is the most bizarre concoction in the world. However, they'll eat hazelnut paste all day long.
True, yeah.
And they're really not so different, but it's at the same time, one just feels so foreign because you just didn't grow up with it.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I can, so that's how I see that herring versus mackerel Poudre thing. Yeah. You know, I think I see how that kind of like, you know, how that is able to, you know, coexist
here. Yeah. And it's the, in a similar way, I love my, you know, 청어, and yet I cannot stand lutefisk.
Well, can anybody though?
No, and that's it. Lutefisk should be banned from the face of the earth.
I think lutefisk is banned from certain public areas.
Good.
So essentially what it is, it's a type of shark, that's been fermented in lye. And while I've never had it myself, you ask anyone from the Midwest, they'll always give you that same kind of horrified PTSD expression of having lutefisk in their home growing up.
Yep, that would be a Norwegian household. Mm-hmm. Hello. We have lutefisk every year. And Grandpa Dave, if you're listening, we can stop now. And so our next one here, we're going on. The one thing I feel like every meal would not be complete without is some moo.
Moo.
Oh, you gotta have moo. Moo. There is not complete without moo. Now, the difference here I want to point out is moo, and then there's sunmu. What is that?
Okay, so moo and sunmu. So in the notes, I wrote moo being radish / turnip.
Yeah.
So technically, it's a radish. Mm-hmm. However, when Westerners think of radishes, they think of the small red ones that are almost always eaten raw.
Correct.
Right? However, this radish, we also cook it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we cook it, it tastes a lot like a Western turnip does when it gets cooked, which makes sense because they're part of the same brassica family. Essentially, they're all in the mustard family.
Okay, so that's easy to think of.
So, but when you're talking about an actual turnip, what we would call a turnip in the West, that's a sunmu.
Sunmu, okay. So we've got all this mu, sunmu. I feel like there's two more that we just got a quick get to here. We'd be remiss without them. First one, everyone would know this one. It's across the board, both here and, you know, in the West as well. It's the hobak.
Right.
It's the pumpkin.
It's the pumpkin. It's the kind of quintessential symbol of, of the fall. Now, here's the thing, though. Here, what you have to be careful of, hobak is oftentimes shorthand for just ehobak, which is baby hobak, which is most closely associated to what we call a squash or a zucchini in the West. What we would consider a pumpkin, a big orange pumpkin, is a 늙은 호박.
늙은 호박.
An elderly pumpkin, basically. an old pumpkin.
I love that. An old pumpkin. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm thinking of like an old little man with a little cane walking around.
I mean, yeah, they're very, if you look at them, they're full of wisdom.
Oh, full of wisdom. Very true, yes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like to wrap this up here, one of my favorites are, of course, the apples and pears. That would be the 사과, and of course the 배 as well. Mm-hmm. Those are great to
apples
have in there.
And pears. Apples and pears. No matter where you are, that's the sign of autumn.
Of course. Now, I want to give a quiz to everyone here, see who's paying attention. I had mentioned that while the 쿨, the oysters, are of course very famous and very delicious here, there is one that is not as popularized in the West, and that is the mussels. For anyone who remembers what they are, those mussels, I want to see who remembers what that is in Korean. Let us know in the comment section here on TBS EFM live stream page. Let us know if you remember what is mussels in Korean here. Now, Matt, we always tend to run out of time here, but I feel like if you could give us one little, you know, kind of taste here, like kind of big thing that we're looking forward to before we go, what is something that we can keep an eye out for in autumn coming up?
Okay. So we've talked about pumpkins, we've talked about apples, we've talked about pears. These are all the kind of international symbols of autumn, right?
Mm.
But the undeniable number one Korean sign of autumn is Kimjang season coming up. So that's right on the cusp of autumn and winter. It's usually anywhere in between late November to early December. This is the season where traditionally you make all your kimchi, all of your baechu kimchi for the year. It's a huge event. It's one of my favorite days in the house. My family gets together with other family members and other families. We do it all together. Literally, by the case, we make kimchi.
I love it. Yep, kimjang. It's a huge popular time of year. I'm certain we will get more into that throughout the week to talk about it. Something that I look forward to as well. Matt, thank you so much for being here. And I got some great answers. Liam A, Simon Kim, you guys are correct. Hongap is the answer. The Lost Angel as well. Great job, you guys. You got it. Muscles Woo! Is the correct answer. Now, unfortunately, before we head on out today, Matt, I have some... unfortunate news that I do have to share with you and our genies today before we go.
Oh no, what is it?
And I, so unfortunately, you guys, for the past year and a half, I have been working on a project. I have been filming a project. It is a secret project I am not allowed to tell you about yet. But so for the past year and a half, this project has not caused any overlap. But unfortunately, going forward, the filming is going to be overlapping with the radio show with TBS EFM. And unfortunately, I will not be able to continue doing Korean Genius anymore going forward. I know. And I'm so sorry to tell our genies and to you, Matt, as well, that unfortunately, this week is going to be my last week here at Korean Genius. I am so sad. So I hope that you guys will come and join me this week here to spend my last week and have a great time with me. And if you're interested in seeing what I get up to, make sure to come and hang out with me on my own SNS and, you know, see me there. But I also want to make sure you continue to support Korean Genius and the new host who will be coming in next week, because it's going to be a great show starting then as well. But I'm so sad to share that with you, Matt.
I am very tempted to sabotage your career so you stay here, but that wouldn't be the genie way to do it, I think. No.
But I had such a great time, and thank you so much for giving me such a great show, Matt.
This has been the best season of TBS ever.
Thank you so much. Oh, I can't wait to give you a nice social distance hug in later. Social distance hugs. And thank you, genies, as well, for such a spectacular show today. I had so much fun, so much love. I'll be sure to talk to you guys tomorrow. But unfortunately, we're out of time. Don't worry. I'll see you guys tomorrow as well for some K-pop times too with Aryan. But unfortunately, we're out of time. This was Hangugo Chunde. I'm Kayla. See you guys tomorrow. And let's take it on out with Britney Spears. Autumn goodbye. I never promised you a happy ending. You never said you wouldn't.